One Pixel Jump for October 14th, 2010. Anime news is hard to find. I know there's a whole website dedicated to bringing you new anime news, but maybe it's more so that there isn't really anything interesting to talk about other than that I found one of the people who does previews for the new schedule's name is Bamboo Dong.
I really wonder how you get that name.
I would have think that when you start to work for Anime News Network, whenever you get your job as an editorialist or a writer in any right, you have to pick your name out of a hat.
No. They have to put up different words up on a wall and throw darts at them to decide your name. He hit Bamboo and Dong, so that became his name.
Yeah, it's an entire wall of nouns. They just clipped out the entire dictionary of nouns and put them up on a wall. You've hit Bamboo and Penis. Can I at least go with Dong? I can pretend it's Chinese.
Oh, fine. None, half of them are sexual terms. Like,
yeah, there's actually an entire bunch of them that's sexual terms, so that people know where not to aim. But they don't tell you that the executives have the ability to move that wherever they want while you're throwing your dart. So you, excuse me, young lady, you seem to have gotten sandpaper clitoris.
Oh, sorry, young sir, you seem to have gotten M. Night Shyamalan.
That's what they didn't teach you. M. Night Shyamalan's ability to write as well as he does comes from his incredible closeted anime fandom. One day, I will create a twist so great it will destroy my greatest rival. Sandpaper Clitoris, you're going down!
Yeah, but what he doesn't know, if there is an up-and-coming rival he needs to fight back against, Duct Tape Gooch.
It's a legacy character. Duct Tape Gooch. M. Night Shyamalan defeated me, the village. It was just so bad. You have to go on in my stead. He must be defeated before The Happening comes out. And then they die of their injuries from having watched The Village. The self-inflicted injuries you get because you watched The Village.
Your eyes just burn out.
Because you lit them on fire with your own matches. That movie was terrible.
I wouldn't know.
But, yeah. But because there's not really a whole lot of anime news, the only thing that is really going on right now, as far as I know, is the fall 2010 anime schedule. The Iron Man anime I don't know if it's come out yet, or if it's slated to come out sometime this month. I want to think it's supposed to have already come out, but I could be wrong.
I don't think so.
Yeah. The only other two that I saw in that listing when I saw the official list was, there's a new Pokemon anime. Woo.
There's a new Super Robot Wars anime. Yeah.
That's true. I think it's based on Tyson Original Generation, which is fine. If we wanted a regular Super Robot Giant Super Big Time crossover, we probably already have one.
No. What we need is Ryoma and Koji Kabuto ganging up on Dr. Hell because he started reanimating dinosaurs.
Dr. Saudame comes out and he's like, you're doing it wrong! Because he was the bad guy in Shin Getarobo.
Yeah.
That was such a good anime. We should have watched that instead of watching Aquarion.
I don't know. We can't really make fun of Shin Getarobo. Oh, wait, yes, we can.
I contest that Getarobo is very easy to make fun of. Then again, we could spend the entire time talking about, hey, you remember that time they fought the dinosaurs? Which time? It doesn't matter. They were all good.
All 52 episodes of it.
It doesn't matter. It was a giant robot fighting dinosaurs. I don't know if I need anything more than that.
I don't know. I mean, Getarobo G had a giant robot fighting aliens.
Getarobo Armageddon, or Shin Getarobo from the 90s, had a giant space vagina and a Getter sun.
And Getter Emperor that became its own universe?
I want to remember that being the case, that the Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann is a big robot. It stands on galaxies. Getter Emperor eventually becomes so big that it cannot exist in the universe. It has to exist as its own universe, separate from ours.
No, no, that's the kind of thing I really wish Aquarion had did. Done.
Where it was actually awesome instead of...
What it is.
Incredibly stupid.
Like, there were a few cool moments in it.
Yeah, that's not really giving Aquarion its due. Aquarion would be appropriately described in the tagline, flickers back and forth intermittently between being pretty cool and incredibly stupid.
And sometimes they, merge together to form one giant thing.
One giant orgy, based on the way they react to their combination.
Mm-hmm. I get that orgy scene in.
All girls, here's hoping. Let's talk about what Aquarion is. Aquarion is ostensibly a send-up of giant robot shows, specifically super robots, because I like to be semantic about that sort of thing. It is the story of a bunch of teenagers coming together that are humanity's last hope because they pilot the super robot Aquarion. Humanity's last weapon against the Shadow Angels, who are harvesting human beings in order to plant them into the tree of life so that it doesn't die and therefore doesn't destroy the Earth, although that sort of stuff is only revealed in, like, the last 10 minutes of the show, which, I don't know. If you're going to say that something's going to destroy the Earth, I think you need a little bit more build-up than 10 minutes.
Well, you know, they had a bunch of build-up. They just never knew what the build-up was going to.
Well, yeah, there's a bunch of build-up to the final battle, but they don't tell you, hey, if we don't revive the Great Tree, it'll destroy the Earth. They always tell you, hey, we're trying to revive the Great Tree, but I was always under the impression that the Shadow Angels needed it to flower so it could create fruit so they wouldn't die. I didn't know that it would blow up the planet.
I don't know. Apollo is... A dog?
No. Don't you remember the constellations? He's the frog.
Wait, I thought he was a frog, wolf, hawk, eagle.
No, at the end of the series, when he combines with Toma and Sirius, they become the frog, eagle, wolf.
Oh, I thought Sylvia was a frog.
So did I. I thought Sirius was like a turtle or something. The show is... This is a show that I want us to talk about coherently, but Aquarion doesn't make any sense. And plot lines jump up and then disappear to be mentioned by no one. Things are introduced as though you're supposed to have always known about them, and sometimes they're relevant, and sometimes they're not.
Like cliffhangers that go nowhere.
And there's a character who wants to be really wise and spout off all these philosophical... I guess cones? That I don't remember. I don't know how to pronounce that word. K-O-A-N, the Zen riddle thing. I don't know if that's pronounced cone or con. But he tries to spout those, but almost all of them come off as meaningless nonsense the longer you think about them. And in order to make them come off as meaningless nonsense, you have to think about them for the time it takes for him to say them.
And the time it takes me to say this incoherent sentence, you will have thought about the incoherent sentence, and I will have already made another one that you will have to think about.
Right. I'm going to make myself sound smart by talking so much that your brain breaks. That's probably what this show thinks it has going for it. It doesn't explain things very well, so it probably thinks it's very intelligent. Actually, that's something that I thought about throughout the entirety of the show. The writers of the show must think that they're being incredibly intelligent when really they're just sort of being obtuse.
This is really deep.
When I describe the plot as humans fight shadow angels with Aquarion, that's the plot. There isn't really anything else to it other than
that. Oh, no, there's the reincarnation crap that's going on.
Yeah. Which is, maybe that's relevant? I don't really know.
I don't know. Everyone treats it as like we're just repeating what we did 12,000 years ago. But there's only the one guy that thinks this is the fight for the survival of mankind.
Yeah, he's the only character that he's. There are three doctors that work on the Aquarion project. Blonde Girl, the stand-in for the blonde woman from Ava, because Aquarion really, really wants to be Evangelion. It does. Just trust me on this. Because there is the stoic jerk who sits in the background and pretends to direct things, even though he doesn't actually seem to do anything. There's one other guy who may be the only semi-original character, and there's the blonde doctor who agrees with the stoic jackass in the background because maybe he's hitting that. I don't know. The one character who's actually sort of reasonable is the doctor who never seems to agree with the stoic philosophical jackass in the background, because he always actually treats the war for humanity's survival as a war for humanity's survival.
Everyone else thinks, we just gotta do what we did 12,000 years ago and win.
And everything will be chill.
Yeah.
Actually, when presented with the opportunity to weaponize, I think, some people and make an assault version of the Aquarion model, he's just like, go for it. Anything to help us survive these fights, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. How did the series even begin?
The series begins with Apollo and his ragtag bunch of misfits running around doing stuff.
The Baskerville, the Baker Street Irregulars.
Yeah, that's what they basically are. It's... I'm trying to think of where to really start with Aquarion, because there are a lot of individual things you can make fun of, like how all of the characters are really annoying, and how there's this one episode where the animation budget doesn't happen. But the stuff that's around it is really just sort of confusing when you actually try to think about it.
In other words, don't try to think about it.
Yeah, really. Just like, there's a point where one of the main characters introduces his special attack, which is one of the arms becomes super stretchy and he punches an enemy into the moon and it blows up.
And dents the moon.
Cool. Yeah, that's the best way to talk about Super Robot shows. Let's talk about moves that Aquarion does.
Except for Jealous Sword.
Except for... That move doesn't even make sense.
I don't know what that was.
There's an... I don't know what episode this is. It's somewhere in the middle. If you watch this entire series, a lot of it falls to Monster of the Week stuff that doesn't really come up later, which... Maybe that's the reason that the story never seems to gel. But they introduce these special attacks, some of which come up later. Infinity Punch becomes a staple attack. But Jealous Sword happens once and then is never used ever again.
Yeah, like what Sirius did was he took all the anger between Apollo and Sylvia, I think it was.
No, it was between Apollo and him.
Yeah, yeah,
Sylvia was just sort of caught in the middle. I don't understand what was going on in that scene, because Sirius's entire character is based around, I will be this stoic, unfeeling kind of
I will be the snooty French guy of the anime.
Yeah, that's really it. His entire character's point is just to sort of be a jackass, because every time somebody brings up the whole reincarnation destiny thing, he's all like, reincarnation? Oh, such an idea. But he doesn't... But sometimes when he's fighting Apollo and Apollo challenges him for, like, I'm actually the reincarnation of the person who's important that everybody thinks you're the reincarnation of, he's like, no, actually that goes to me because I'm more important than you. Guy who annoys me because the series needs an antagonistic character.
I'm blonde, I win.
It's really one of those things. There's so many... All of these characters are characters you've seen before. I said they were annoying, but really they're super generic. There's Apollo. He's brash, crude, but he's the hero with a good heart. He essentially might as well be Ryo Monogare from Get a Robo, or even Koji Kabuto, except that Apollo is also kind of a jackass and uncouth, where Koji Kabuto and Ryo Monogare are also that, but they're cool because Get a Robo and Mazinger Z are cool. Sirius is a jerk. He might as well just be Sasuke from Naruto, because he's a jackass to antagonize the main guy, and that's all he does. Even once in the middle of the series, when they start to reveal, like, his sort of backstory, and he goes through the process where he turns into a bad guy, you always get the feeling that he's just pitching a fit. In fact, actually, I've got the same feeling when I used to read Naruto. So maybe he is just a carbon copy of Sasuke, but in a giant robot anime where he's blonde.
And doesn't have a hair shaped like a chicken?
Yeah. And that makes him infinitely less interesting, because you can't make fun of his stupid hair. His hair just looks girly, and this is anime. Then there's Sylvia, who... I don't know what... She's just generic tsundere chick. She doesn't have any real personality other than, I hate the main character because he's this unclean jackass, but I love secondary main character who I think is actually the hero, but in the end, I will come around and actually have a thing for main character guy.
Did I mention that the secondary character is my brother?
Yeah, the only thing that really, this is a disturbing sentence, but the only thing that really spices up this relationship is that it involves incest. I hate that I'm not on video, because I was making a goofy face just there. Sirius is, Sylvia's brother, and because she thinks that he's the reincarnation of the hero from the story 12,000 years ago, she is really into him, and it's kind of fucked up. Mostly because there are the occasional episodes where you see her bedroom, and she has a giant stuffed plushie of him.
Wait, it was giant?
It was giant for a plushie.
Okay. Sized. Okay, good. I thought it was like a Japanese fuck doll.
A love pillow? It might as well have been. It was as big as her. Except that it was, like, in super deformed form. And
it was really just a balloon. It was kind of deflated at the time.
Honestly, the fact that she wasn't holding on to it, sucking her thumb, is surprising. And by sucking her thumb, I want to think that that's what she would be putting into her mouth. Let's move on. There are other characters. There's this little vampire girl whose point is to sort of be stoic, and that's cute, and she might as well just be Rei Ayanami, but she's in the background and that sort of thing. There's Pierre, who is the perverted jerk who exists only to ask girls out on date and do perverted things so that other more tsundere-ish girls can hit him. And then there's my favorite character, Reina. Reina is the character who sucks. The entire purpose of her character, at least in the beginning, is to suck so that other characters can look good. Every time she's in a fight, they have the ability to warp people from Aquarion to the base and exchange two people where someone will be put into Aquarion into their pilot suit, which has the very, very sexy effect of bringing them back covered in green slime and naked.
At least you can tell how it...
Yeah, it is opaque, but people have anime anatomy in this anyway, where they don't have nipples and they don't have genitalia, because God knows we don't have enough nudity in this series. But Reina is my favorite character because she's the character who sucks. Her entire purpose is to suck. In the first two fights, she, despite the fact that Aquarion has three pilots, whenever Aquarion gets beat up in the first couple episodes, she's always the one who gets knocked out and needs to be replaced. The other two people are ratcheted up, but they're okay.
Then there's Tsugumi.
Tsugumi is the glasses girl. The entire purpose of her character is to have glasses and boobs. And to that end, she has glasses and boobs. Works out pretty well.
Oh, wait, we gotta talk about her power. She has the very bizarre ability to get her heart rate up, and when it does, things around her blow up.
That's it. Her power is that when her heart rate is accelerated to a certain point, things explode for no reason. I think they explained this, that her heart rate increasing rearranges molecules that are around her to cause explosions. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense. And honestly, the only purpose of her character is to, you know, glasses and tits. They sort of try to give her a bit of a backstory while she was causing explosions as a little kid, it caused her to be an outcast. But Reyna already is that character because it is actually a consistent portion of her character to always have bad luck and ruin things for herself and other people. So she's just a carbon copy of Reyna, but with explosive titty glasses. The only other characters are the doctor characters, which we talked about. There's June, but he's really just Sugumi, but without tits and explosions.
And he has the ability of psychic eye.
Which basically does whatever it needs to do in the episode in which it is invoked.
Deus Ex Machina.
Sometimes it allows him to there's an episode where it allows him to scan the past for the source of an explosion. There's an episode where it allows him to see through an enemy's armor and scan for its weakness. It's like scan, but it works in time. It's a Deus Ex Machina skill. Every character has powers like that, but they rarely come up as being relevant. Or the only time that it did happen was Sylvia every now and then uses her psychokinetic power, which she has to invoke by going psychokinesis and doing silly hand motions while her bracelet glows. I don't understand that.
Well, the only consistent power is Pierre is because he can light things on fire.
Yeah, he has fiery kicks.
Yeah,
that's really
in the opening. Sirius, you can see him kicking a ball, and it lights on fire, and he's kicking it at Sirius. And every time I see that, I want to think, "Oh man, now he's gonna have to get a new ball."
Yeah, but it was all worth it to try and hit Sirius. Sirius just pulls out his sword and moves away. That's Sirius's power. His power is to have a sword. That's really it. Apollo's power is to be the main character. That's really it.
His power is to be a Native American with red hair and really good sense of smell.
He's not even Native American. They just gave him some sort of clothing motif that sort of invokes that thought in my mind. I don't know. The antagonists are all unremarkable. There's Toma, who has this severe man crush on Apollo's past life. There's this chick with four eyes. There's a bug guy with six eyes. There's this little kid who they murder later on in the series. Spoiler alert. And none of them are particularly remarkable. They only really serve to be the antagonist of the week whenever the week needs an antagonist. They don't stick around to have more than maybe one personality trait outside of Toma. Toma has maybe two personality traits where he's vengeful against the humans, but he actually feels like a scorned lover of Apollo's past life. Because in Apollo's past life, he chose the humans over the shadow angels. Toma felt betrayed, and now he's got a rage boner for killing humanity or something like that. I don't know. It's dumb.
I don't know, based off the top three antagonists, the Toma, girl with four eyes, and bug with six eyes, apparently your rank is decided by how many eyes you have. The less you have, the higher you're ranked.
Apparently so. Does that mean that the old man who always hung around with six eyes guy actually had like 20 eyes, but they were covered by the thing he pulled over his forehead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, his eyes were like bug eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got the multi-segment eyes. You take off his goggles and he's actually the fly. Oh my god. Jeff Goldblum, why are you destroying humanity?
Wait, he's not done that before? Did you not see Independence Day?
But that wasn't Jeff Goldblum's fault. Didn't he save us?
That was just a ploy.
That was a ploy so he could destroy us himself. I will save you, Earth, because I am the only opponent worthy of destroying you. So that's all the characters in Aquarion. We described, what, like 20 people, and only 3 of them actually matter, if that many?
I think 2 of them matter, Apollo and Apollo. I don't know.
Yeah, Apollo sort of matters. He's ostensibly the main character, but sometimes he's not really important to the episode, so they can focus on developing a character.
Like Reyna.
But, yeah, Reyna's character episode is the episode that makes her my favorite character. One of the problems is that the series just has too many characters in it. They dedicate an episode to developing Pierre. They dedicate an episode to developing Sugumi. But those don't go anywhere because those characters get shoved into the background most of the time.
Yeah, but Pierre had the awesome moment in his.
True. Like, I think we said it at the beginning that Aquarion's tagline would be flickers back and forth between being incredibly retarded but super awesome. And Pierre actually has one of those super awesome moments in the episode that's about him. But the character development he goes through is entirely pointless. Because that episode could have just as easily not happened, and it wouldn't have been relevant.
Yeah, but his special move was where he kicked a robot into the air, and then runned up the sky while kicking it like with a soccer ball.
Going dribble, dribble, yeah. Dribble, while they're on fire.
Yeah! Well, and he eventually runs up the sky all the way into space and then tries to kick it into the sun.
The only problem is that the kick was so powerful that the thing exploded on the way there.
I think the fire just burned it up that quick.
That was so cool of a moment. That's one of the problems, though, is that whenever there is a legitimately cool moment in Aquarion, it is ruined by the stupid crap that happens around it. Sometimes it's funny. One of my favorite... The reason I like that episode so much is because while it does go a little bit too... It's not quite on the level of the first merge, where the entirety of merging is treated like sex, but it does go a little bit too far in treating the thing like sex, where Pierre is sitting around like, I need to do it, while he's pushing a cup into a coffee filter over and over again. But I like the episode still, because that moment where he runs up the sky, pretty cool. When Pierre jumps into the transfer module to say, this place is my home, you're not going to stop me from protecting it, that was also pretty cool. When he does that and is transferred away, and the blonde lady doctor goes, no, stop, you could be paralyzed. That's the delivery.
And the way you said that was better than the way she said that.
I said it exactly how she did. She doesn't go, you could be paralyzed. She goes, you could be paralyzed. I don't understand what was up with the delivery of that line. And then there's, like, when he's actually doing the running up the sky thing, it's sort of ruined. It's not really ruined. The moment is still cool, but randomly, right as they cross into space, and you see that while it's mostly Pierre's energy, Apollo is yelling along with him while he yells and adding his energy to it, and Sirius comes in and goes, what's going on? Aquarius is on fire. This is insane. Ah! And then he starts yelling all of a sudden himself. It's just like, I needed to tell you that Aquarion was on fire. I didn't know if you guys noticed. Okay, I'm going to join in the hot-bloodedness now. Ah! So ridiculous.
Sirius, do you even know where we are?
It happens again in the other episode that has a significantly cool moment when they invent Infinity Punch, which I want to think, I did describe it,
yeah.
Right? The idea is that Infinity Punch, you throw the punch, the arm extends and follows the enemy in this twisting animation. When they do it, they punch the enemy into the moon and it explodes. But everything that happens around the Infinity Punch is kind of dumb.
Yeah, but it does make for a hilarious moment in about 3 episodes later.
Oh, what was
it? The dream episode, where they reveal
keep in mind, like I said, that Apollo punches the moon hard enough to make a crater.
Yeah. In the episode with when they're being attacked in their dreams, they discover that dreams come from the moon. So Sirius, while in a dream, has to shoot the moon so that a bunch of arrows will come down and attack the enemy.
I think it was Sylvia, but the point is that dreams come from the moon, so it's like, Apollo, you jackass!
You punched my dream!
Me in the dream!
That was the part where all the sexy ladies come from.
That was where my ice cream dreams come from, you bastard! Why?
Now I won't have double chocolate chip anymore!
Now I can only dream of Fabio and broccoli.
No, if it were you, you would keep dreaming of rum raisin.
It's like you didn't punch me in all of the ice cream, you only punched me where the good ice cream is, so you can only eat rum raisin and, I don't know, carrot jubilee. I don't think that's an ice cream flavor, but I think that it should be an ice cream flavor just so that nobody will eat it.
Spinach cake ice cream.
Yeah. Now, the one stupid thing I could think of from the Infinity Punch episode, which that episode probably does have a more prevalent and relevant title, but that's what I'm going to call it because it's the only thing I really remember, other than when they are first trying out a proto version of the move before they do the actual attack version of it. The arm stretches, but its bending motions are kind of awkward. They hit it once, and it doesn't really work. I remember right before they try that, Sylvia says, Apollo, I found the enemy, and it shows a view from Aquarion's cockpit where the enemy just sort of jumps into the screen. It's like, hey guys, I'm here. Did you forget about me? I know you were having an existential crisis, as robot shows are wont to do, post-Evangelion at least.
Just comes in. What were you guys even doing before? I just got here.
There are two other things I think we should bring up. It depends on which one you want to do first. Do you want me to talk about the episode that makes me like Reyna, or do you want to talk about Space Cube?
Forgot about Space Cube.
Let's talk about the episode where that makes me like Reyna, because we could spend a few minutes on Space Cube. The reason I really like Reyna, the reason that I like the character who is engineered to suck, is because she's aware of that fact. Not so much in that God seems to make me want to suck by comparison to all the people around me, but she is aware of the fact that she's almost this goddess of bad luck. There's an episode where she decides to rid people of the burden of dealing with her cursed bad luckness. And she runs away. Aquarion has to be dispatched to where a Shadow Angel is attacking, or something like that. I don't really remember. It ultimately finds out that the Shadow Angel is a lake digesting a bus full of children. It doesn't really matter. But Aquarion is dispatched, and coincidentally, Reyna happens to be over the bridge, on the bridge over the lake where Aquarion is being attacked, and something happens to destroy the bridge, so she's falling. She's grasping the bridge, trying to climb up, and she's like, my bad luck, you guys need to get away from me, you're only going to be ruined. And then, I don't know what causes this necessarily, something happens to one of the pilots inside of the robot, and Reyna says to herself, alright, I know that I'm cursed, but let's find out exactly how cursed I am, and she dives into the lake and starts piloting the robot. And I actually think that's pretty cool. It's not necessarily written or performed the best, although Reyna's voice actress actually is pretty good, though I don't know who it is. I recognize her voice, but I don't know her name. And I like the idea of that, though.
I'm the character made to suck for other characters being awesome. I'm going to embrace that now.
I'm going to embrace the fact that I am unlucky and unfortunate, and I'm going to take that as far as it can go. It comes off as being this really cool character development moment, and actually, ever since then, whenever Reyna does get into a fight with Aquarion, she actually does fight to a generally good effect. She's not the only character who gets dispatched just so that another character can come in and be awesome.
No, that rule goes to Tsugumi. But yeah. when she dives in to the lake, if you remember, around the time she reaches Aquarion, like, a bunch of electricity surrounds her. So it's like, oh no, you killed all the pilots that were already in there.
Oh, embracing your bad luck may not have been the best thing, Reyna.
Don't worry, this time you get to be in Aquarion more.
That bus full of children is dead now. Well, at least we get some delicious fried children now.
Wait. Well,
that's one of the things that Aquarion did as far as, like, character development that I actually liked. But enough about that. We need to talk about Space Cube.
Space Cube.
I don't know where Space Cube comes from. I remember the episode that it comes up. Because what happens is they decide to do this exercise where, in order to better understand how to merge with their piloting partners, the characters have to better understand each other, and consequently, they're encouraged to act like each other. All I remember about this specifically is that there's a little bit of interaction where Apollo and Sirius pretend to act like each other, and it pisses the two of them off, and blah, 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 blah. But the one I really remember is that June decided to go full force with this. He was partnered up with Tsugumi and decided to cosplay as her, going so far as to put melon bread in her in his shirt. The reason you know that it's melon bread is because Apollo sniffs it out and tries to eat it. And yes, it is kind of awkward when Apollo is trying to get what is essentially a boob replacement out of a guy's shirt. It's not as charming as it was in Wild Wild West starring Will Smith. The philosophy is immediately contradicted because apparently the actual point of the lesson was to teach the characters to embrace their individuality and be who they are.
Yeah, the director decided, the point of this was to realize that you should not try to be the same person and that you should go different paths because in the end those will all reach the same goal or something to that effect.
Again, it's the director spouting philosophical nonsense that sounds like it maybe makes sense, but then you think about it and it doesn't actually.
And he says this during the fight. I don't know what they're fighting, but I think they were in space at the time. And he uses three different colored arrows to represent them. Apparently he has telekinesis powers, because they're just kind of floating in air.
Yeah, the director is he's referred to as, like, the world's greatest magician, because he not only can make those things float in air around him, he can also summon objects from wherever the hell.
Yeah, when he shows them going in different directions, that's when Aquarion uses the move that creates Space Cube.
What happens is that I think a little bit earlier on they created a version of the Infinity Punch where it's Infinity Cross where the two arms punch in two different directions and it punches two enemies that are near each other. Apollo, I don't know if that's exactly what happens, but in order to represent the characters going in a different direction from a singular source, they have Apollo do Infinity Punch, Sylvia shoot an arrow in a direction that forms a green line, and I don't know if Sirius uses his sword, or if he also does Infinity Punch, but he does it with the blue hand. Grant, and it's been a bit since I've watched this episode, so no, I don't remember how they do this while piloting one Aquarion. But that happens, and it forms these three lines that destroy all of the enemies in the area, and Gendo Ikari replacement man says, "See, they've seen the beauty in being their individual selves." And then the lines extend out more lines, and it forms a giant glowing cube.
And it doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't. At the end of the series, Gendo Ikari replacement man does the three fingers thing again, where he points in the directions that the characters were going in, and it forms and you see Space Cube in space, surrounded by angel wings.
Now, I like to imagine that the reason Space Cube exists is because Gendo Ikari replacement man lives in a tiny tatami room, and I like to imagine that Space Cube is what he wanted his new home to be. I lived in a 6x10 room. Now I live in a 10x12 room.
It's not even giant, it's just the perspective of it. My room is so much bigger now, and in space. That's not half of the ridiculous bullshit that goes on in this show. What about
Infinity Punch through the Earth?
Oh, yeah. The fact that Aquarion becomes the new tree of life by punching the earth to hold it together. And there's a vampire girl, except that nobody cares that she's a vampire. I don't understand this show. Nothing makes any sense. But, like, if something is memorable, it's either kind of awesome or really stupid. And everything else is really forgettable. Even the show forgets about it.
Especially the vampire girl.
The Rei Ayanami girl, in one episode, it's revealed that she's actually a vampire. And she bites a guy. And then, after that episode, nobody cares anymore. It's just like, whatever. She's a vampire.
The only thing that happens with her is, like, at the end of the series, she pilots Aquarion for the tenth of a minute.
Yeah, and it's completely irrelevant. She doesn't even pilot the important Aquarion. She pilots one of the makeshift ones made by dissenting Dr. Man.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I could just talk about Space Cube forever. That's the real threat to humanity, Space Cube.
One day it will imprison the Earth.
Exactly.
It will imprison the Earth, and then those damn space pirates will own us all.
Maybe that's the ultimate culmination of his plans, because Gendo Ikari Replacement Man is revealed to be 12,000 years old. And a plot reveal that means absolutely nothing.
And it comes out of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, Aquarion has to be piloted by three people, I think. And because sometimes they flub that rule and I don't know. And in the 12,000 years ago when Apollonius, the Shadow Angel who defected, Celion, this woman that he fell in love with, when they raided Atlantia, the place where Shadow Angels live, in revenge for, I don't know, something, they were the pilot. That's what something else that doesn't make sense. Apollonius was one of the original pilots of Aquarion, but Aquarion is also the reincarnation of Apollonius.
And so is Apollo.
Yeah, it's
it's like how Sylvia and Sirius are both the reincarnation of Celion.
Yeah, they're both the reincarnation of the same person. According to Toma, who explains it, it's like the pain of knowing the loss that she went through caused her soul to become two people.
The part that forgot and the part that remembered.
Except that the part that remembers is Sirius, and the part that forgets is Sylvia, but she's the only one who seems to be in tune with that she's a reincarnation, and Sirius doesn't know it until the last 10 minutes of the show. I don't get it. This is what happens when we don't talk about Space Cube. We have to talk about how the show doesn't make any goddamn sense.
And what, and Space Cube makes sense?
No, but at least it's funny. The phrase Space Cube is already funny to me.
Multicolored Space Cube.
Almost as funny as Sandpaper Clarice.
Or Duct Tape Gooch.
Let's stop. No, wait. No, let's not stop. One more thing. We have to briefly mention the episode where the animation quality stops.
We ran They did not. It's not like this was intentional. They wrote a script around their animators not being there.
I would have been remiss if we had forgotten about this. I don't know what the episode is called, and I don't remember what it is, but there is an entire episode where the animation quality goes away. It is though they spent all of their animation budget for the week on hookers and blow. And they're like, oh shit, we still have to make an episode. I can doodle, sort of. We'll get through this. Yeah.
Like an all-night cram session all done by the director.
The thing about it is that the episode tries to justify it where they go to this separate dimension that's a mindfuck by the little kid angel, but, and that would have been kind of interesting, but when they show things that are still outside of that, the animation quality doesn't get that much better. It just stays kind of bad. Toma's face looks like he's been punched about 1,000 times. And that's, everybody, at least in the, like, the Shadow Angels, they all look really, really bad. Ah, the main characters, there's the cold open where they, I don't even know, they just look really, really bad. It's hard to describe without actually seeing it for yourself. And they structure a whole story around it. I don't understand. I don't know. The only part of that episode that looked alright was the 3D Aquarion.
I don't know how to draw, but I do know how to make a 3D model out of a pen and paper.
Yeah, exactly. That was the problem. He spends all of his ability making 2D CG that he didn't learn how to do actual drawing. Oh. I don't understand that episode. It doesn't make much sense. The characters seem to be aware of it once they enter the extra dimension, but when they have poor animation quality in their home base where they... It's the first time in the whole series that they make a boob joke, I think, other than the episode with Space Cube, and the breasts are animated so poorly that it looks like the character has stuffed fleshy globes into their shirts. Or bathing suit that has a boob window for some reason. You remember
that? Yeah.
It's just like, was Power Girl the designer of these bathing suits? What the hell?
Maybe when they were making the bathing suits, they ran out of the material?
I guess.
They just stuck with the design?
I guess, I don't know how. I think all the male characters are wearing Speedos. Where did all the material go from that? You could have made, like, a full boob covering.
But then Apollo and Ceres would have been naked.
Would that have really surprised you? Honestly, those two really just need to have sex and get it over with. Because, come on, think about it. Ceres is the reincarnation of Apollo's former life's lover. Yeah.
Well, he's only half of it.
Yeah. That's that description, that's how much sense this series makes.
I don't understand any of it, but Space Cube.
And watch the episode with Space Cube, Infinity Punch, diving into the lake because you're a loser, and running up the sky with fire. Watch those episodes and ignore the rest, because the rest of it's pointless.
Yep.
Although, you might want to watch the really poorly animated episode just to see it. You can see this on Netflix streaming if you're really interested. It might also still be on Hulu. All right, let's stop for real this time. I don't think there's anything left in Aquarion to talk about.
Okay.
Let's sync up by saying go Aquarion. No, let's sync up by saying Infinity Punch.
Fine. No, Jellisword.
Space Cube.
Okay, Space Cube.
I'm going to turn that into a catchphrase if it kills me.
Okay.
All right,
rather than weather balloon, it's Space Cube.
Yeah, right. Space Cube is what happens when something's too big to cover up with a weather balloon.
Okay.
All right. On three. One, two, three. Go tight, show time, you may know. Show time. Sit die, sit may I be sit die. I know she's so.
We'll be right back.
shake it down. Senen no kotoku o koe megure aeta. Tsurayakana manasashi ni shake it down, shake it down. Tsunagatte ita.